Welcome back to Science TLDR, the podcast that helps you get right to the exciting stuff in the latest scientific papers. Today, we're going to be looking at a paper in Nature Machine Intelligence. And get this, it's called Deep Learning Enhances the Prediction of HLA Class I-Presented CD8 Plus T-Cell Epitopes in Foreign Pathogens. Quite a mouthful, right?
Yeah, it's a dense one, but don't worry, we'll break it down for you.
That's right. So we'll be diving into the world of immunology and how AI could actually help us develop better vaccines.
Which is a pretty big deal.
Yeah, no kidding. But before we get ahead of ourselves, let's start with the basics. What exactly are CD8 plus T-cell epitopes? And why are they so important when we're talking about fighting infections and developing vaccines?
Okay, so basically you have these HLAI molecules on almost all of your cells. Think of them like display cases showing little pieces of proteins called epitopes. These epitopes can come from the cell itself, kind of like a signal saying, hey, everything's good here. But they can also come from a pathogen, like a virus. And that's when things get interesting.
Interesting how?
Well, when a CD8 plus T cell spots a foreign epitope presented by HLAI, it basically triggers an alarm. The immune system kicks into gear and destroys the infected cell.
So these epitopes are like wanted posters for our immune system, helping it identify and eliminate the bad guys.
Yeah.
That makes sense. But I imagine actually identifying these epitopes in the lab is a pretty big challenge.
You got it. It's time consuming and expensive. It's like searching for a needle in a haystack.
Okay, so that's where this paper comes in, right? They've developed this deep learning model called MUIS.
Exactly. MUIS aims to predict these critical epitopes, and it does it with impressive accuracy.
And that could be a game changer for vaccine development, right?
Absolutely. If we can accurately predict these epitopes, we can design vaccines that target them directly, potentially leading to stronger and more durable immunity.
Now, that's something to get excited about. But how does this MUIS thing actually work? What makes it so special?
Well, MUIS uses what's called a bimodal architecture. It's like having two brains working together. One brain focuses on predicting how strongly a peptide will bind to an HLAI molecule, like predicting how well a key fits into a lock.
I'm with you so far.
And the other brain focuses on antigen processing. This is how a pathogen's proteins are broken down into smaller peptides.
So it's not just about the key fitting the lock. It's also about figuring out if that key even exists in the first place.
That's a great way to put it.
So they trained ImmuniAS on a massive data set, right?
Yeah, over 650,000 HLAI ligands. It's like feeding the model a huge library of examples so it can learn the complex patterns and relationships that determine epitope presentation.
But how do we know that ImmuniAS isn't just memorizing that data and spitting it back out? Can it actually make accurate predictions on new data it hasn't seen before?
That's a really important point, and the researchers took steps to make sure that wasn't happening. They used something called cross-validation. Basically, they trained the model on one set of data and then tested it on a completely separate set that it had never seen before.
Smart. So how did it do?
It did really well. Actually, they intentionally left out data on HIV from the training set, and ImmuniAS was still able to accurately predict HIV epitopes.
That's a good sign. It suggests the model is learning the underlying rules of epitope prediction, not just memorizing what it's seen before.
Right.
So ImmuniAS is accurate, but how does it compare to other epitope prediction tools out there?
They put it head-to-head with several well-established tools, and ImmuniAS consistently outperformed the competition, especially when it came to classifying HLAI binders.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
But we're still talking about simulations here, right? Did they actually test ImmuniAS in a real lab setting?
Yeah, that's the real test, isn't it? Seeing if it actually works in the real world.
Exactly. So did they take ImmuniAS out of the computer and into the lab?
They did. They chose Epstein-Barr virus, or EBV for short, as their test case.
EBV.
Yeah, it's a pretty common human pathogen. Causes mono,
Yeah, the kissing disease.
Right. And it's also linked to some cancers.
Okay, so it's definitely a relevant target.
Yeah.
So what did they do with EBV in ImmuniAS?
Well, they used MUIS to predict which EBV peptides would be presented by different HLA alleles. Then they took those predictions into the lab and actually measured how strongly those peptides bound to HLA molecules.
So they actually checked if the predictions from the computer would hold up in a real biological system.
Exactly.
What did they find?
It was pretty amazing. MUIS not only correctly identified several EBV peptides that were already known to trigger an immune response.
So the ones we already knew about.
Yeah, but it also pointed to several new peptides that had never been identified as potential targets before.
Whoa, so it's not just confirming what we already know, it's also uncovering hidden targets for vaccines.
Exactly.
That's incredible. Did they actually test whether these new peptides could trigger an immune response?
They did. They did some T-cell immunogenicity assays.
All right.
And the results show that these new peptides could actually trigger both effector and memory T-cell responses.
Okay, hold on. Can you remind me what those are again?
Sure. So effector T-cells are kind of like the frontline soldiers of the immune system. They directly attack and destroy infected cells.
Okay.
And memory T-cells are more like the veterans. They stick around for a long time and remember past encounters with pathogens so they can respond quickly if the threat comes back.
Ah, so like the immune system's memory.
Exactly.
So ImmuneIS is finding peptides that can activate both the immediate and long-term defenses of our immune system.
Right. Which is a big deal for vaccine development.
Yeah, it could mean designing vaccines that provide both immediate and long-lasting immunity. That's really promising. But I know we talked about some limitations to this study earlier. What are some of the things we need to keep in mind?
You're right, no study is perfect. One thing is that ImmuneIS doesn't predict immunogenicity perfectly.
Right.
It's good at identifying peptides that bind to HLA, but it can't always tell which of those peptides will actually trigger a strong immune response.
So there's still some work to be done.
Definitely. There are other factors involved in T-cell activation that we need to understand better.
So where do we go from here? What are the next steps?
Well, one thing we could do is incorporate more data about T-cell receptors into the model. Remember, those are the ones that actually recognize and respond to the HLA peptide complex. If we can give the model more information about how those receptors work, we might be able to get even better at predicting which peptides will actually trigger a strong immune response.
That makes sense. We also talked about the diversity of human HLA alleles.
Right. There are thousands of different variants, and ImmuneIS was only trained on a subset of them.
So what does that mean for the model's accuracy?
It means that ImmuneIS might not be as accurate for people with rare HLA types. We need to expand the training data to include more HLA diversity.
So the model can be used for a wider range of people.
Exactly.
That's really important.
Yeah.
We need to make sure these tools are accessible to everyone.
I agree.
Okay, so we've talked a lot about ImmuneRNIs, its potential and its limitations, but let's step back for a moment and think about the bigger picture. We focused on vaccines, but what other applications could this technology have?
Yeah, it's exciting to think about the possibilities.
So what are we thinking? What could we use this for?
Well, one really exciting area is personalized medicine.
Personalized medicine? How so?
Imagine being able to design a vaccine specifically for you based on your own genetic makeup and immune system.
Whoa, so no more one-size-fits-all vaccines.
Exactly. With tools like ImmuneIS, we can start to predict which epitopes are most likely to work for each individual person.
So we could potentially have vaccines that are more effective and have fewer side effects.
That's the idea.
That's amazing. And what about other applications? Could this technology go beyond vaccines?
Definitely. For example, think about autoimmune diseases. These are diseases where the immune system mistakenly attacks the body's own tissues.
Right.
If we can use deep learning to figure out which epitopes are causing those attacks, we might be able to design therapies that specifically block them.
So instead of suppressing the entire immune system, we could target just the parts that are causing the problem.
Exactly. That could potentially lead to treatments with fewer side effects.
This is really groundbreaking stuff.
Yeah.
So where do we go from here? What are the next steps in this research?
Well, we've already talked about some of the key areas like incorporating more T-cell receptor data and expanding the HLA diversity in the training data sets. But I think another crucial aspect is collaboration.
Collaboration.
Yeah, we need experts in deep learning immunology, vaccinology, all working together.
To really push this forward.
Exactly.
And speaking of pushing forward, what about using this technology to prepare for future threats, things we haven't even encountered yet?
That's a really interesting question, and it's definitely a possibility. Imagine training models like ImmuneIS on a huge range of pathogens, both the ones we know about and new emerging ones. We might be able to develop a system that can predict which epitopes are likely to be present in future threats even before we've seen them.
That's incredible. We could have a head start on developing vaccines and therapies.
Exactly. It could potentially save countless lives.
Wow. That's a powerful vision for the future. Well, we've covered a lot of ground today. I think it's time to recap the key takeaways for our listeners. So to summarize, first, ImmuneLAS represents a major step forward in our ability to predict those CD8 plus T-cell epitopes. Those are essential targets for vaccine development, remember. And this new model, it's not only accurate, it's also outperforming existing tools.
Yeah, and importantly, it's been validated in real lab experiments.
Right. So second immune NIS isn't just confirming what we already knew, it's uncovering new epitopes that could be crucial for developing better vaccines.
And that highlights the power of AI to help us find new therapeutic targets.
And lastly, this research goes beyond just vaccine development. It opens up some exciting possibilities for personalized medicine, treating autoimmune diseases, and even getting ahead of future pandemic threats.
It's a really exciting time to be working in this field.
It certainly is. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the world of deep learning and its potential to revolutionize human health. We hope you found it as fascinating as we did. Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep pushing the boundaries of scientific discovery.